We've all heard about the horrors of the transcontinental slave trade during European colonialism, but how many of us know what indentured servitude was? Hi guys, I'm Anish Anandram and this is A Whole Lot of Grey. If you enjoy our content, please interact with this episode in any capacity. And if you want more in-depth, long-form analysis on the topics we cover, be sure to check out our YouTube channel. Every few days after it drops on Spotify, we'll be covering similar topics except more in-depth and longer form. So without further ado, let's jump into indentured servitude. And first, I want to touch on the origin of indentured servitude. So to give you a bit of historical context, in around the 14th to 16th centuries, or pardon me, I guess the 15th to 17th centuries, between 1450 and 1650, is typically what historians refer to as the European Renaissance. Now, it's this epic period where Europe was, you know, kind of having a philosophical awakening, if you will, reforming the role of religion, government, society, civilization, so on and so forth. Now, while all this was going on, large parts of Europe were, you know, embroiled in scarcity and turmoil. So a good chunk of European communities sought to migrate to America for a better life, namely Irish, Italian communities, among others. Now, a lot of the Irish and Italian communities and other European communities could not afford the passage, relocation, and transportation fees via steamship to America. So what they did was they entered into a form of bondage labor, contractually obligated to these rich British and other European plantation owners at the time, wherein they agreed to work on their plantations in order to repay the cost of transporting and relocating to America. So essentially, you know, members from these Irish and Italian communities, as a result of the scarcity and strife in Europe, sought to emigrate to America, where they knew, hey, listen, European colonizers and, you know, the British plantation owners are kind of setting up the new world out there. Let's maybe go there. I've heard, hey, life's better out there. But it's expensive to get relocated. So what they did was, because they had no money to pay for any of the transportation fees, they'd work in return on the plantation for the British or European estate owner. And it was for a fixed period of time. And once I think that contract was seen out and the fixed period of time was served, they kind of were free to do their own thing. So already there's a key distinction, which is that the plantation owners had the right to the indentured servants' labor and time, but not the human beings themselves, whereas slaves were treated as property and the human beings themselves were subject to ownership at the hands of these rich plantation and European estate owners. However, where indentured servitude really started increasing in popularity around the globe was around the late 18th and 19th centuries. So this is around the same time frame when the Brits first abolished slavery. I believe they first did it in 1833, and later America abolished it in 1865. So now that the European colonizers no longer could use slave labor at will to work on their plantations and estates, and forced labor from other European immigrants, such as these Irish and Italian immigrants that I touched on, was now increasingly being frowned upon and close to being outlawed as well, Britain started transporting indentured servants from India, because my listeners might know this, India was the crown jewel of the British Empire. And they started transporting these indentured servants from India to their colonies in the Americas, Africa, and Caribbean, mainly to have them work on sugar and rice plantations, owing to Indian expertise in these crops. So this went on for about, you know, 4 or 5 decades. I think it stopped officially 3 decades prior to Indian independence in 1947, when the British outlawed, you know, the transport, or at least the bulk wholesale transport of Indian indentured labor from India to their colonies in the Americas and the Caribbean. And I think they outlawed it in 1917. However, what's interesting is even today you have tons of Indian diaspora communities in the West Indies and parts of the Americas like Guyana and Suriname. And fun fact, today in 2024, Indians still remain the largest ethnic group of people in both Guyana and Suriname. Again, now, if we want to talk about numbers, I think in terms of numbers, nearly 2 million Indians over the course of the 5-6 decades were transported to the Americas by the British. Now, while the exact death count is kind of debated among historians, I think all historians agree that almost all Indian indentured servants were subject to serious abuse, terrible working conditions, and obviously close to non-livable zero wages in these colonies. And there's also historical evidence to suggest that in some cases, indentured servants from India were treated worse than slaves, because the logic was indentured servants were a short-term investment. And obviously it feels disgusting and abominable to talk about this kind of stuff. I just want to give a huge disclaimer to any listener who, you know, may not feel comfortable hearing such rhetoric or topics. But as abhorrent as it is, I think, you know, we on Whole Lot of Grey believe that the only way we can rectify the future is if we have a complete symmetry of information and we're all aware as to how the past went down. So I think this, it's just important to know that a lot of the estate owners back then viewed Indian indentured servants as short-term investments, because it was like, hey, after 5 years, their contract's going to expire and, you know, now I'll have to find someone else or maybe purchase new labor to till this field and work on this plantation. Whereas slaves were kind of lifetime investments, so to speak, because they were people who were under direct ownership, as opposed to, hey, listen, I have this super unfair contract which stipulates you have to work for zero wages and terrible conditions, which is why you want your lifetime investment to be in tip-top shape throughout, which is why a lot of historians believe that indentured servants were actually subject to, in some cases, more abuse, because, you know, their utility was not as important, given that it was a short-term practice for 5 years or 7 years, depending on the contract, as opposed to slavery, which was lifetime. And again, in terms of numbers, before I got digressed on this important fact, as I said, around 2 million Indians were transported to the Americas. And in the case of slaves, I think around 15 million is what historians generally agree is the number that were transported, obviously against their will, from Africa to the European colonies in the Americas. And this, I think, constitutes the largest ever example of the transatlantic or transcontinental slave trade in human history. That's that. And I'm sure there's a small segment of listeners which is probably going, hey, listen, but what about the role of African slavers in the European slave trade, and talk about how the world back then maybe didn't place as much of an emphasis on morality and consideration as it does today. All of that you can check out on the YouTube episode, long form. But if you thought this few minute nice little snippet on Spotify, Apple, wherever else you're listening to was worth your time, as I've said, it'll mean a lot if you interact with the episode in any capacity. And if nothing else, I hope you learned something today by way of what is the key distinction back in the day between indentured servitude and slavery under the reign of European colonialism. As always, I am your host, Anish, and look forward to having you listeners join us for the next episode. See you guys.